That last song had one phrase that stood out to me, invited us to join in his rest, and yet it talked with that right in conjunction with reigning, etc. Last Sunday in the meditation, Daryl had brought just a little bit about the fact of, you know, Emmanuel, God with us. That's something that's been on my mind quite a bit the last several weeks, and just like to focus on that a bit this morning as we turn our hearts in worship to God. I'd like to turn first to Matthew 1 and do a little bit of reading together where he mentions that. Matthew 1, starting in verse 20. So if you, I'll invite you to join me in reading the parts that are in all caps. But just, let me see here. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. How precious that is when we think about what it means that God is with us, that God came and lived here. It was the first time this had happened in the history of the world. God had filled many people, but here was Emmanuel, God with us, God in human form. Now, we don't understand, there's a lot of mystery in all of that, but I was struck in my daily Bible reading in Luke, in chapter 5, how, just like look at a few examples there, it seemed like there was full of examples there of how Jesus was God with us when he lived here, how he lived that out. First part of chapter 5, we have, you have the story there where Jesus is teaching and he's in the boat, and at the end of the day, he's in Simon's boat and he tells Simon, go out and cast your net. And Simon says, Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. And says they came and he called their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. But so here we see Jesus in provision. See God with Peter when he needed daily provision for his family. He worked all night, had found nothing. God provided for him. In verses 12 to 14... I'll just go ahead and read that. Once when he was in one of the cities, there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean. Then Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, I do choose, be made clean. Immediately the leprosy left him. There's several things that really stand out to me about that. Here we have the leprosy, and he's a leper, and he's also an outcast society. No one dares come close to him for fear of contamination. And Jesus touched him. Before he was healed, Jesus touched him. And then he said, I do choose, be made clean. Somehow it just feels to me like that thing of that physical contact for someone like the leper must have meant an awful lot. And then the last one I want to look at is the latter part of the chapter. Is when the paralyzed man is brought by his friends. They let him down through the roof. And I'll just start reading verse 20. When they let him down through the roof, and Jesus said, when he saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven you. Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, who is this who is speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? When Jesus perceived their questionings, he answered them, why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, stand up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the one who was paralyzed, I say to you, stand up and take your bed and go to your house. Immediately he stood up before them, took what he had been lying on, and went to his home glorifying God. First thing Jesus, here comes this lame man. He's obviously coming for healing. First thing Jesus said is, your sins are forgiven. I had to wonder in the context of that day, you know, had he maybe thought that his paralysis was because of his sin? Who knows? The disciples asked about the blind man. Has he sinned because he sinned or because his parents sinned? And so Jesus addressed that first. And then to validate his power to forgive sins, he healed his body as well. So we see how God, with us, takes care of every part of us, body and soul. And the man who was healed, he didn't waste any time asking questions like the Pharisees did. He just praised God. He glorified God. And I think that's what I want to focus on this morning, is that we think about, what has God done for me? Or what are the rough edges in my life where I need his touch, and invite him to be God with me, God with us in that area? I thought it might be fitting to just praise God through, also through the song of, with the song of Mary this morning. And so it'll be some repetitive, responsive reading there as well. And I wanted to just as a personal testimony, a way that I have seen God work in my life and touch my life is through you. I moved here 16 and a half years ago, and God has, this moving here and being a part of this church has really met a need in my life. And the ways you have allowed me to be involved, have spoken into my life, has really shaped me. And I thank God for that and for you. Okay, let's go ahead and read this response as well. Again, the ones in all caps are the ones you can read with me. Let's see. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever. And certainly we want to thank God this morning for how he has fulfilled his promises and how he is with us today. I'd like to invite us just to stand and to pray. Father, thank you for that you have kept your promises. Thank you that Jesus lived here as God with us, that you were here in person, showing yourself. But thank you that you went even further and you have promised us to come and live with us. Those who fear you, who obey your commandments, you have promised to make your home with us. You are not tied to one place anymore. And so I pray, Father, the truth, the blessedness of your presence, Father, where we hurt, the place we feel the weakest, that we could know you as present with us there. Thank you for each one in this congregation. Thank you for this day and this opportunity to praise you. And just do ask your blessing on this rest of this service as well. In Jesus' name, amen.